We're back to the Neil Haley Show, and you know what? I'm really excited about my guest. I guess was he going to pull off April Fool's prank on me today? And it's not going to be who I'm expecting. I'm excited to welcome Justin Willman. Justin, thanks for stopping by. Netflix show, The Magic Prank Show, will premiere today. I know you're excited. How are you, Justin?
I'm good. I would never prank you this early in the morning. Come on, Neil. I treasure our relationship too much.
Already? So you want to be part of something I'm going to be involved in then, maybe. We'll see, Justin. Let's just jump to how did this start? Okay, I'm just confused. I've never met a hybrid like you. Okay, you're a prankster, a comedian, and a magician. What the heck is that, man? That you had a pretty crazy life, a childhood, I think.
But you're like, who hurt you, Justin? What happened? Let's sit down into some therapy. You know, the prankster part, I think, goes hand in hand with magic. If you think about it, you know, a good magic trick is essentially a prank that pleases you, you know. But when I do magic and you don't know I'm a magician, you know, that's extra pranky, right? Like as a magician, I could saw somebody in half on stage and it could be gory and realistic, but the audience would still applaud, right? But if I did that same thing and I'm just some dude at Home Depot in the middle of the day, that's not a prank. That's alarming. And that's kind of where we tread in this magic prank show, except all the pranks that I pull off are for people on behalf of them, on people who deserve it, you know? So it's essentially like magic pranks by request. I literally sourced all the ideas from my Instagram. I posted, anyone in your life need to be pranked for a good reason. Who is it and why? And I took the responses and made a show out of it.
That's crazy. I mean, I love that idea. I mean, is there anyone like you? I mean, I think of pranks as, you know, let's think of the Impractical Jokers, right? You add that other component of the comedian, mm-hmm. right? And, or Walk the Prank with the kids did, or think about, you know, some of the top prank shows ever. Kind of relate all that together. You got to watch out when you're hanging out with you, Justin, because you're going to pull a prank. It's going to look like it's real. And you're going to be like, what just happened? I'm confused. Your mind could be blowing all day long. You're like, what's he going to do next to me?
Now you know how my wife feels on a daily basis. You know, are these flowers or are they going to explode? What's going on, babe? I mean, any good magic trick, you know, there's so much that goes into it that you don't see behind the scenes. And from what we all know of prank shows, like the best pranks are, you know, elaborate, where you kind of prepare for every different potential scenario, you know. And when you combine those two, like the amount of prep work involved, you know, multiplies, because you've got hidden cameras. People don't know they're being filmed. They just think they're living their life. They kind of fall into your trap. And you need to, you know, you need to kind of get your head inside their brain in this moment and think, what if they do X? What if they do Y? What if they do Z? What are we going to do? It's a lot of improvisation. It is, yeah, and now that we talk about it, it is a psychotic amount of work for one thing. But there's, I don't know, there's something joyous about it when it does work. And I just didn't want all that work to go for just the purpose of, you know, haha, we got you. You know, I kind of like the idea that it's a bit of a prank, a magic prankster Robin Hood, you know, where it's kind of for the greater good, you know, helping send a message to someone who hasn't been able to receive this message through normal means, or helping someone get revenge in a way that they couldn't do on their own. It feels karmically balanced in a way.
Justin, you didn't follow the rules that everyone has the niches are in the riches or niching. Because you really did niche.
No,
you tried to dominate three different categories.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they say jack of all trades. I tried to take my several favorite things and you know, do them one after the other. And I mean, as soon as one thing doesn't work, I might shelve it. But I do love kind of adding different tricks in my repertoire for sure.
You know, and I find that fascinating as a performer myself, a former performer. I guess I'm a performer still with the show and everything, but I'm going to be making a comeback into the professional wrestling ring after being out since 1999. A documentary is going to come out on me and doing a bunch of different things, training every day, this doing DDP's yoga. It's like just trying to get back in shape at 51. But what I'm learning as a performer, and I remember as a performer, is the audience is such an important thing. And I think that you decided you were very good at trying different things. And when you saw such a great reaction, especially you play behind the camera as well. So you really understand an audience because of producing other things as well. Does that help in all these areas and connections to be able to see if things work or don't work?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think, you know, I mean, I'm excited to see your documentary, but I'm sure what you realized along the way is because you're not used to sharing the process, right? The training, all the hard work, you know, you're as a performer, you're probably in the past used to people just seeing the moment you step into the ring and whatever happens in the ring, that's the show, right?
Right.
And I think we live in this time now where it is fascinating to let people in behind the curtain, show them everything that went into that thing. Let them, in our show, Magic Prank Show, it is a bit of a documentary along the way about me and my team and the trial and error that goes into coming up with the tricks, the magic, the ruse. How are we going to get them there? What are we going to tell them? You know, like, what is the big trick? Will it work? And we're letting people in on, you know, some of the magical secrets along the way, a lot of the psychology. I feel like in the end, people end up appreciating the final product much more, you know? And I think we live in this time, you know, in a long form world where podcasts are so popular and people just like listening to how, you know, how the brain works out a problem. You know, I think the producer side of me knew that that was hopefully an interesting angle to take. And with magic, nobody ever gets to be a fly on the wall in the magic jam session. So we kind of let the viewers really, you know, listen like a magician, try to figure, you know, listen to this chat, hear weird magic lingo going around, observe some of the secrets, trial and error, and hopefully in the end, the final product leaves them feeling, you know, even more satisfied because they knew the gargantuan amount of work that went into it.
Because again, the secrets. The where you're gonna, I don't know if that'll upset some of these magicians, right? That don't want to ever give up their secrets. We don't know. We're gonna have to watch this, and thank goodness there's something that I can watch on Netflix that's new. So I'm excited. I'm gonna be definitely checking this out, Justin. But think about it. You know, you have the David Blaines. You have different categories of people that you go to talk to. Let's talk about the magicians. They're very secretive on their tricks and different things, aren't they?
I mean, very much so. I mean, when I was a kid taking my first magic lesson, the first thing they say, never reveal the secret, of course, you know, and that is because you do a trick well, the first thing someone's going to say is, how did you do that? You know, like people think they want to know how magic works, but they don't, you know, like magic is like hot dogs, I like to say, you know, because the more you know, the harder it is to swallow, right? You don't want to know how hot dogs are made while you're trying to eat a hot dog. You don't want to know how a trick works right after you see it happen. But I think there are occasional exceptions, hopefully in this case, where if you just are let in on a couple of the principles, a couple of the methods that go into the final product, I'm not telling you everything, you know. I'm just letting you know, you know, giving you a little kernel of information here and there, and you can hopefully, I think, use that to appreciate, you know, the final trick and still be fooled by it. That's the goal, is to still – To let you in on a couple methods, and you know, you can make of that what you will, but then the final product still blows your mind and catches you off guard. That feels very satisfying to me.
The final product is the cool thing, man. What is that final product going to look like, and what's going to be the response to it? And does this feel great? You have a Netflix special, you know, you've produced one, but now this is yours.
Feels great. Exactly. You know, it's wild because, you know, all like Magic for Humans and this show, Magic Prank Show, they're very much a ragtag operation, you know, like they are kind of, compared to the other shows on Netflix, a very kind of small budget niche kind of, I like to think of it as a mom and pop operation. And it is wild, you know, going from working on this thing in my storage unit, jamming on it with my buddies, and then it's on TV for the world to see. It is very, very surreal, you know, nerve wracking, but man, so exciting to finally share it with the world.
How do you think you made your big break? What did you do so that, you know, there are comedians out here, there are pranksters out here, you know, that might be pranking on different social media platforms. And then there's also magicians out there. How did you make your big break? Was it right place, right time, hard work, all of it combined? What do you think?
I mean, definitely all of it combined. I think for me, I was lucky, you know, I'm 43. I was born in 1980. I got into magic in the mid 90s, and I got to kind of, you know, bust my chops and work and do gigs at restaurants and kids' birthday parties and blue and gold banquets, like all these things. But the good thing is that I grew up at a time when everything wasn't filmed on a phone and posted online. You know, like, I'm sure I would have been tempted before I was ready to share my magic with the world to put it up on TikTok and, you know, get it going. Like, I feel like I was able to make my mistakes and have that period of sucking at this thing before the world was able to see it, you know? So, because these days, you know, everyone's putting content up. You got to post. And that stuff lives forever, and it doesn't really give you the chance to evolve as much. You know, you kind of need to, these days, you know, with TikTok especially, it's like, what's your angle? You know, who are you? What is the thing you do? I don't think I was ready to pick my lane, you know, until my, you know, mid-30s when I was like, okay, I think I know my sweet spot. It's half magician, half comedian, you know, talking about life, relatable stuff. I don't think I was ready to do that in my earlier years. So I'm glad those just live in photographs.
I am glad that I broke in when I broke in radio, podcasting, and television, and the fact that it didn't have to be great. It didn't have to look great. I get to cut my chops. I was on the phone at times when I was doing blog talk radio. Can you believe it? Just on my freaking phone doing shows. And now with all the, you know, adding the professional sound equipment, all the different things that are involved. And I'm like, man, I couldn't break in today because I started just addicted to this stuff. And I don't think addicted is going to make it today as much as so much other stuff. The point of entry for creators is so much more difficult than when we started. I really believe that.
And very, very true with magic. You know, like for me, it was all about doing actual shows and performing in front of real life people. And these days it's about performing in front of a camera, you know, for a lot of people. And I think there's no substitute for stage time, you know, for chops and for just being in the trenches, doing the thing that you do, getting good at it before you're ready for prime time.
And also, so your tour dates, people can see you live, Houston, Texas, I'm sorry. So we're looking at April 12th. You'll be in Montclair, New Jersey. May 3rd, Vegas, and May 4th, Vegas. So go figure. Get out some fun, man, right?
Vegas trip debut. I can't wait. I mean, for me, that's what it's all about, is going on tour, doing the shows in front of real people. You know, I love making the TV shows, but for me, it's those are very much kind of an infomercial, a mouthpiece, just to put you on people's radar and make them want to make a night out of going to see you in person. So
do you want to be a regular all the time on the Vegas Strip at one point?
You know, I thought about that. I like going to Vegas, but for just a couple days at a time. I maybe need to open my mind to what it would be like to live in Vegas, but I don't think it's the thing for me now. I like going to a different city and getting a different audience every night. There's something about just figuring out, you know, who are the people of Montclair? What's going to make them laugh? I'm in Detroit. I'm in Chicago. What's going to crack their code? And doing the same show in the same room every night, you know, it just sounds a little monotonous to me. I like the idea of really diverse, you know, variety of spice of life for me right now.
Well, congrats, man. Such great success you have so far. Do you have an ultimate goal of where you want to be as a comedian, a prankster, and a magician?
You know, ultimate goal, I'm not sure, but I will say, like, this year at some point I want to shoot a special for Netflix or elsewhere where it's, you know, kind of the stand-up special version of what I do on stage, just because it's been my first love since I was 12. So I'd love to tick that off the list, and then we'll see. You know, I love hosting shows. I love being on TV and kind of sharing my funnies and my sillies with the people. So being able to do that just on larger platforms would be great, but I'm having a great time right now. So trying to ride the wave as best I can.
All right. Magic Prank Show, available now on Netflix. Thanks again, Justin. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Neil.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.